A lone indigenous woman played a native flute as people gathered at Coles Hill above Plymouth Rock for the 53rd National Day of Mourning. Hundreds upon hundreds turned out, from near and far, with some of the speakers coming from as far away as the Yucatan in Mexico and British Columbia in Canada. The annual observance always begins with the native prayer, which is not allowed to be recorded. A Mayan woman explained the reason for this.
Now we all are here together. And once you're grateful that you came from that somewhere, you and we all are welcoming to back here in America, where we have the corn of all the colors. Look around you. It's all the colors. Look at around you. We used to be a continent only of people roja. There was no white. There was no yellow. And we didn't have black either. But just like the corn transform and transmute, we all are here. So you guys are here. This is you. This is us. And we are not putting a show for you. I'm coming to see what is what we do. That's why we're asking you not to take pictures in ceremony times, because it comes from our soul. It comes from within us, from what we do. This small ceremony, it happens all the way from Antarctica in the North Pole, and it goes all the way down to the South Pole, which is in Chile. So all the American people, the native people, we create all of this together. We are here for Mother Earth. We are here for the creation.
After the prayer, co-chair of UAIN, Matoan Monroe, read a greeting.
Melissa Harding Ferretti is the chairwoman of the Herring Pond Wampanoag Tribe. And this is their territory where we are right now. She couldn't be with us here today, but she did ask us to say a few words before we began. Today, we give thanks to the sacred place, what is known as Plymouth, that lies beneath our feet and is at the heart of what we call the Wampanoag Nation and the traditional homelands of the Herring Pond Wampanoag Tribe. Our ancestors are buried here, and our descendants can still be found here today, along with the many other kinship tribal communities and direct descendants throughout the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. The Herring Pond Wampanoag Tribe is one of the few remaining historic tribes in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts today. As Wampanoag people, our history is well documented and interwoven with the early history of colonization in the Northeast. Of the thousands of acres of land set aside by the Plymouth Colony for the Herring Pond Tribe in 1655, only a few parcels and our 1838 Pondville Meeting House remain. We are still fighting to reclaim what we can. May you never forget the first peoples of this land. Our first speaker will be my co-leader, Keisha James. Keisha is an enrolled member of the Aquinnah Wampanoag tribe and is also Lakota, and she is the granddaughter of Wamsutta Frank James.
Good afternoon, sisters, brothers, and siblings. Once again, on so-called Thanksgiving Day, United American Indians of New England and our supporters are gathered on this hill to observe a national day of mourning for the indigenous people murdered by settler colonialism and imperialism from Turtle Island to Palestine. Today marks the 54th time we have gathered here to mourn our ancestors, tear down settler mythologies, and speak truth to power. National Day of Mourning came into existence 53 Thanksgivings ago when my grandfather, an Aquinawampanoag man named Wamsutta Frank James, was invited by the Commonwealth of Massachusetts to speak at a banquet celebrating the 350th anniversary of the arrival of the Pilgrims. On so-called Thanksgiving Day, 1970, Wamsutta and members of at least 25 tribes, as well as a sprinkling of non-Native allies, gathered here on this hill and observed the first National Day of Mourning. Attendees spoke out about the Pilgrim invasion and conditions in Indian country, marched around Plymouth, boarded the Mayflower too, and even buried Plymouth Rock in sand. We did not simply fade into the background, as the Thanksgiving myth says. We have survived and flourished. We have persevered. The very fact that you are here is proof that we did not vanish. Our very presence on this land frees the land from the lies of the history books and the myth makers. We will remember and honor all of our ancestors in the struggle who went before us. We will speak truth to power as we have been doing since the first National Day of Mourning in 1970. All of us are struggling under the oppression of a capitalist system which forces people to make a bitter choice between heating and eating. And we will continue to gather on this hill until we are free from this oppressive system, until corporations and the U.S. military stop polluting the earth, until we dismantle the brutal apparatus of mass incarceration. We will not stop until the oppression of our LGBTQ siblings is a thing of the past, until unhoused people have homes, until human beings are no longer locked in cages at the U.S. border, despite the fact that no one is illegal on stolen land. Until no person goes hungry or is left to die because they have little or no access to quality health care. Until insulin is free. Until union busting is a thing of the past. We will not stop until Palestine is free. Until the U.S. ends its colonial occupations of Puerto Rico and the sovereign kingdom of Hawaii. Until the U.S. pays reparations to Black Americans, until land back for Native nations, until then, the struggle will continue. In 1970, very few people would have given any thought to the fact that the indigenous people of this hemisphere do not look upon the arrival of the European invaders as a reason to give thanks. Today, many thousands stand with us in spirit as we commemorate the 2023 National Day of Mourning. As my grandfather said in 1970, quote, "We are now being heard. We are now being listened to." The important point is that we still have the spirit, we still have the unique culture, we still have the will, and most important of all, the determination to remain as Indians. We are determined, and our presence here is living testimony that this is only the beginning of the American Indian, particularly the Wampanoag, to regain the position in this country that is rightfully ours. In the spirit of Crazy Horse, in the spirit of Metacom, in the spirit of Geronimo, above all, to all people who fight and struggle for real justice, we are not vanishing, we are not conquered, we are as strong as ever.
UAIN co-chair Kaisha James. Next up, Matone Monroe, the other co-chair of UAIN, which is the United American Indians of New England, the sponsoring organization of National Day of Mourning.
Looking out here over Plymouth Harbor, it's so beautiful. And it's hard, though, not to think about the environmental destruction that the Pilgrims and subsequent waves of settlers have brought with them. For example, just down the road from here, there is a now decommissioned nuclear power plant called Pilgrim Nuclear Power Station. We have a little rowdy section of youth up here. All right, thank you. And it's good that it's decommissioned, but the problem is that Holtec, the company that's been doing the decommissioning, has been planning for a long time to dump more than 1 million gallons of radioactive water into Cape Cod Bay. There has been widespread opposition to that because, of course, people don't want that. Meanwhile, though, it turns out that Holtec has been releasing some of that radioactive water into the air in the form of gas, and they clearly plan to release more in that manner. Yet they're not stopped. Water is life, and we humans are part of that life, but settlers have forgotten this. They largely forget that what we do to the land, we do to ourselves. The way to address climate change is not the Green New Deal, nor is it the fake carbon proposals made by nations at places like the big climate conferences, with COP28 coming up right now. So-called sustainable energy sources are rarely sustainable, as indigenous people who protect 80% of the world's biodiversity often bear the consequences. Throughout indigenous territories, land and water are constantly being exploited without the consent of the traditional owners. We think today too and send out our love to our Kanaka Maoli siblings in Hawaii, who are continuing to live under colonial occupation, who are continuing to experience tremendous homelessness and displacement and grief because of the wildfires in Maui a few months ago. And we know that those fires were really caused by colonization and by taking away the native plants there and everything else that happened as a result of colonization. Here in the so-called United States, Native nations achieved a major victory when the Indian Child Welfare Act was upheld earlier this year, and it was a huge relief for all of us. But that law needs to be strengthened and further enforced. And we also must point out that our children are still being snatched and put into foster care in disproportionate numbers, separating thousands of our youth every year from their land and their culture. The theft of children has often been a core tenet of settler colonialism. I noticed over the last several weeks that there are actually settlers saying, oh, I see that there's a Palestinian orphan. I'd like to adopt a Palestinian orphan. Maybe what they should be doing is working hard to ensure that Palestinian children can stay within their own alive families and can stay within their own country. I want to turn to speaking about Palestine for a bit. Our organization has supported Palestinian resistance for decades, and we pledge never to let our relatives there or here down. When you see a genocide happening, whether in Congo or Sudan or Armenia or Palestine, you need to try to do something about it. If you are silent, that is supporting the genocide. Yet, too many people are still standing by right now, afraid to speak up because of the repression that's being directed against those who stand up and defend Palestine. So I want to tell you that we're honored to have a Palestinian speaker on our program today, and I'm going to explain why, too. From our perspective, Palestinian people are indigenous. As indigenous people, we understand firsthand that to be a colonized person is to exist under constant violence, physical, cultural, and psychological. We call what is happening in Palestine genocide because that is what it is. You can't take a pause in genocide. Nor is this a war, nor are there two armies. We see the same features of manifest destiny and white supremacy that we have experienced weaponized against Palestinians. We speak plainly and say that this is also apartheid. Our organization opposed apartheid in South Africa decades ago, and we oppose it in Palestine now. So today, on U.S. Thanksgiving Day, we say that we will not be thankful for the ongoing destruction of our beautiful planet. We feel the struggle of Palestinian people and of all indigenous peoples in struggle in our hearts and in our bones. Today, we are asking you to mourn and to listen. But tomorrow, we ask you to use your heartbreak and your rage to fuel your action to make this end. A ceasefire is not enough. A ceasefire is the bare minimum. The Palestinian people need reparations to rebuild. Occupation and settlements must end. U.S. aid to Israel must end. Palestine must be free.
Palestine was a major issue this year at the annual ceremony, and for the first time, a non-Native American, a Palestinian, was invited to address the National Day of Mourning. Her name is Surma Abu Yamash.
Assalamu alaikum. Peace be upon you. I call on my ancestors to envelop us here today with their protection and guidance. I call on my father, Ibrahim, a Palestinian ancestor who fought for Palestine all his life, to bless my words as I take on this responsibility of speaking to you today, honoring this day of mourning. I am grateful to be in native Wampanoag land. You know that our struggles are intertwined, sourced from the same well of revolutionary spirit and determination, from the same history of colonization, and from the determination to be free. Palestinians will acknowledge you always and hold you in our hearts in gratitude and join you in your struggles even during this dark cloud of carnage. Because it is one struggle. It is our collective liberation, and that is our power. And now, Gaza. I wonder, do we really understand what it means when 15,271 children, women, and men are killed in 40 days? Can you imagine it? Or that 4,150 people are still caught under the rubble of buildings hit by Israeli air and artillery? Look around you. Think of these numbers. Our fight is against the white European settler project, not against our Jewish brothers and sisters. We mourn the death of all innocent lives and stand with Jewish people fighting white supremacist and anti-Semitism in Europe and the USA and anywhere on the globe. Let me remind you, this violence is meant to break us all and make us accept it. How do you put an end to this energy of destruction and rescue what is left of our humanity? I urge you to take power from this gathering and other gatherings of people of conscience. Our solidarity is everything.
Harriet Prince is an indigenous elder from British Columbia, Canada, and a survivor of the so-called school system, which kidnapped Native youth from their families. She was 4 years old when she was taken away from her family and did not see her parents again until she was 17. She talked about that experience and where she is at now.
Anyway, we as residential school survivors, truth helps us survive. And that's my inner name is Mackinac Turtle. And there are 13 stages of truth. And as you know, the turtle has 13 panels on his back, and each panel represents a different kind of truth. And our spirit is what holds our bodies together. Our anger, I call it righteous anger, because we have to work on getting rid of this anger, which I'm still working on today, because from 4 years old to 17, my childhood was taken away, my family. All the love I should have been having was taken away, so it's very hard for me to forgive also, and that's what still I'm working on. It will take a while. Forgiveness is another hard thing to do as survivors. But through ceremony, we can overcome this. Ceremonies and the culture saved my life. This is how I'm able to stand here because of the Creator and the ancestors. I have learned these later in my life, all these ceremonies and my culture. I was 55 years old, and that's when I really truly learned my culture, started going to sweats and all these ceremonies, and then my spirit woke up. So I've been feeding my spirit with these ceremonies, and that's how I survived. They didn't get rid of the Indian in me. I'm still here. Thank you.
Keeping with tradition, political prisoner Leonard Peltier wrote some words for the National Day of Mourning. His words were read by Jaylee Haru. But first, she had a few words to say of her own.
United Confederation of Taino People, Kabos Yaha. I wanted to begin sharing a few words in my indigenous language, which is not English nor Spanish or any other colonial language. I was taught by my elders that it is respectful to begin in this way. So in translation, good day, my brothers and sisters. My name is Chali Naru. I am a citizen of the Guainia Taino tribe. I am a liaison of the United Confederation of Taino People, and I am so happy and honored to be here with all of you today. Ha hom. As Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. once said, an injustice anywhere is an injustice everywhere. As indigenous peoples, we are resilient, and we're still here! I am proud to stand here with you once again and say, Seneco Kakona, abundant blessings to all. Ha hom, thank you. We have a statement to National Day of Mourning once again from our beloved brother, Native political prisoner Leonard Peltier. Leonard Peltier is now 79 years young, and in his 48th year of unjust incarceration, for nearly 5 decades, indigenous activists, organizers, and allies have rallied behind the fight to free Leonard Peltier. Former U.S. Attorney James Reynolds handled the prosecution of Mr. Peltier's case. In an extraordinary letter to President Biden, Mr. Reynolds said, I write today from a position rare for a former prosecutor to beseech you commute the sentence of a man who I helped put behind bars. Leonard remains hopeful that he will return home to North Dakota. Free Leonard Peltier. Free Leonard Peltier. Free Leonard Peltier.
Free Leonard Peltier.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Now this is a letter from him himself. Greetings, my relatives, friends, loved ones, and supporters. Know that my spirit is with you on this day of mourning, honoring a past stained with blood and tears, bearing a hopeful present and victorious future. Since those ships came in 1492, every day has been a day of mourning, and every day has also brought to us the struggle for nothing less than our unconditional liberty. Alcatraz stands as a monument to our struggle. Plymouth Rock, a testament to our resilience. The oppressor has tried to push us to precipice since their arrival, yet we remain. We respond by being who we are and always have been, the first people, caretakers of Mother Earth. She gives us birth, gives us life. Her strength runs through our veins. Her strength is our strength. When our journeys end, we return to her womb. The Creator sets our path before us. We walk that path and we do not retreat. The greed of the colonizers will be their undoing. Colonial society has no real strength. Their money says, "In God we trust." And how apropos? Money is the oppressor's God. They strip Mother Earth bare through their policies of greed and corruption. Never forget our strength comes from giving back, from protecting ourselves, each other, our women, our children, Mother Earth. I've spent most of my life caged, but they cannot cage the soul of a sun dancer. My grandfather taught me a long time ago what I must be and do for my people that can and never will be caged. We are changing the world. Every one of us must grasp what is ours to change. History is not something that happens in a vacuum. History is forged, and forge we will until victorious. At the Battle of Greasy Grass, we are victorious. At Standing Rock, we are victorious. The Black Hills, our sacred site and resistance, we are victorious. Brothers, sisters, Two Spirits, you know my story. It is the same story since 1492. They contrived to prosecute me with proven fabricated evidence and sentenced me to 2 life sentences to cover up their own wrongdoing. 3 years forth of murder and atrocities against our people. But plant a tree for me. That tree will hold a memory. And like it, you must remember your language. Remember your people. Remember your culture. My liberty is bound to yours. The time is now. We stand together or we perish apart. In the spirit of Crazy Horse, Daksha, Leonard Peltier. Thank you.
With the reading of Leonard Peltier's message, the crowd then moved out to march through the streets of Plymouth. The National Day of Mourning is an annual event that happens every Thanksgiving morning. Reporting from the streets of Plymouth, Massachusetts, I am Chuck Rosina.